Today on Cue the Smoke, we have Michael Betts. We have Tom. I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever learned your last name.
It's Cunniff.
Cunniff. All right.
Yeah.
We got Tom joining us all the way over from the UK. And special guest today for the first time is president of the Brickyard Battalion, David. I feel like I butcher your last name every time I try and say it.
It's quite all right. It's Ziemba.
Ziemba, that's it. We'll get more with him later, and he'll be with us throughout the podcast as much as he can to help us see what the BYB has looking forward to within the month of March, plus one. And, of course, today we will also be talking about the preseason matches and how those all turned out, with a lot of insight from the two open to the public matches later on. Get right into preseason matches, shall we, Michael?
We shall. Last time we talked, we had just kind of mentioned, hey, we just played Pittsburgh, 0-0 draw. Not a bad way to start the preseason. Since then, we have had 5 preseason games, and we've not lost one of them. It's big for the preseason. We're going to start way back with Chicago. Chicago Fire 2 came to town, 2-0 win, should have been 3. We're just not going to talk about the offside call that shouldn't have happened.
They were not offside. One player was, but he was not involved in the play.
Wasn't him. So it was a 28th-minute goal by Augie Williams. That was his first in uniform, obviously the first goal of the year. Hope to see that once we kick off the regular season. And then Jack Blake started his first of many goals during the preseason in the 31st. And like you said, or like we said, I guess, Diego had a goal, Diego Sanchez, in the 79th. But someone was offside. It wasn't Diego. Oh, well.
Yep. Crap happens.
Right. So that was a good kind of 1-2 punch to get right to the start of this of the preseason. Just a dead set with rival Pittsburgh, starting to look good against Chicago Fire. We look better as we move on. The next game was a Tuesday match, closed doors for Indiana Wesleyan, 5-0. Two big things. Jack Blake gets a brace. He's on his way. New signee Carson Hinderlong got a goal. Molina got a goal. And Augie nailed a penalty. So we were sitting pretty at that point, 7-0. The final match.
And, hold on, with that, I find it hard to really give a good judgment call based on us playing against college teams. Nothing against college guys, right? I mean, but it's one of those, like, those are the games that we should be winning 7-0, 8-0. You know, so I'm very happy to see that was the result. I think in the past we've kind of struggled a little bit in preseason against college teams. So it's really nice to see this year that turnaround of we're playing a college team, we're playing guys that they're hoping to play at our level. Let's go out and show them what our level actually is.
Yeah, I said it a couple times post the win over Indiana Wesleyan. It's like, yeah, it's great. Yeah, we scored 5. We didn't let up a goal. But how much stock can you put into a game against guys who are still trying to get to a professional level? And I don't know the Indiana Wesleyan roster. I don't know if they posted one. But who's to say we didn't play a bunch of freshmen who haven't gelled together, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of a how much stock can you put into it? Yeah, it's a win. It's a good moral boost, but can you take anything from it?
Right.
The next game, you can absolutely take something from it. Indy 11 then hosted the reigning, defending, undisputed MLS Cup champion, the Columbus Crew's MLS Next Pro team, and the Crew too. And oh boy, did we see goals. We had one from Jack Blake in the 10th. Guenzotti finished it in the 18th. Columbus would get the first goal on the Indy 11 in the preseason in the 24th. Douglas Martinez in the 33rd, and then back-to-back goals within a minute of each other for the hat trick for Jack Blake to end the first half 5-1 at halftime. That's a stat line I wasn't expecting to see as a final score in the preseason, let alone a halftime score.
Yep.
Douglas Martinez gets one in the second half, as well as Augie Williams, who converted from the spot. 7-1. At that point, we are at 14-1 with a plus 13 goal differential through our first four games. I don't remember correctly, but I don't think we had that good of a goal differential and that many goals scored in either of the two previous preseasons.
Nope.
We then had a quote-unquote doubleheader. We had a game at Lexington at 12 o'clock before our jersey reveal on a Saturday. Jack Blake was the lone goal scorer. There wasn't much information from the Lexington game. We don't know when he scored. We don't know how he scored. We just know he scored. So, that's that.
Yep.
Then, as of, or on day of recording, Indy hosted the final preseason game, and that was confirmed later today, because I know that there was scheduled to be a Ford-Madison preseason game.
Yeah, Madison was scheduled for the day after.
So I'm not sure if the team just said, eh, we don't need it. I'm not sure if something came off of Madison's end, but either way, final preseason game. 2 minutes in, Augie Williams gets a goal. 17th minute, Detroit City levels it. Callum Chapman-Page gets one in the 29th, and Aiden Stanley gets one in the 39th, a 3-1 finale for the preseason.
Yeah.
Just some interesting stats throughout the preseason, okay?
Yeah.
Our top goal scorer was Jack Blake. He had 7 goals. That might just be preseason, but that is still an impressive stat through 6 games. Augie Williams had 4. Douglas Martinez had 2. And we had 5 different players with a single goal.
Yeah, it should, if the regular season is anything like preseason, should make for a lot more fun and enjoyable season this year compared to the last couple of years for all of us.
Oh, yeah. Final stats. 18 goals for, 2 goals against. Simple math, that's a goal differential of plus 16. Mountain, have we ever finished a season where we were that good of a goal differential?
The women did.
Other than the women.
Because, I mean, if anybody knows me, I'm going to be as honest and as blunt as possible. But, no, I don't, especially with this short amount of games, we have not. You know, even going into regular seasons, you go over a 6-game span, it's never been this good. And yeah, sure, it's preseason, right? We understand that it's preseason, so how, you know, take it with a grain of salt type of deal. But at the same time, you know, it's one of those that we've gotten all of these goals with all of our senior players in the first half, and then the second half McCauley and the coaching staff decide, hey, academy kids, go get your minutes. And even our academy side isn't letting up. You know, whether they might not score goals in the second half, but they're for darn sure making sure the other team isn't scoring either.
I think after the whole preseason, I know I said last time, I don't really have any high expectations. It's preseason.
I still don't.
I know how this team can be. I think after seeing what we've done in the preseason, 5 wins, a draw, no losses, we've looked good in every single match. I'm not saying my expectations are championship or bust, but it's certainly looking as if a playoff spot is absolutely manageable if this team can produce in the regular season like they were in the preseason.
Yeah, and I think that's got to be the goal. Right? I mean, we'll get into the month of March, and we'll get into regular season here soon, but I think the ultimate goal for the team is playoffs. You know, just making the playoffs and comfortably making the playoffs, I think, is the main, you know, from fans and supporters all over the board, that's the main thing is, you know, we've made the playoffs before, but then, you know, it's a little shaky on where are we going to finish. Yeah, so if we can solidify this year, and if we do, if the guys do what they did during preseason, we should be knowing a lot better of an idea of where we will be come the end of September, sometime probably around August.
It is much nicer knowing sometime in August, September that you are locked into the playoffs, as opposed to just three games out like we were last year, and the final two were truly just for seeding.
Yep.
Hopefully that's where we end up come August.
Yeah. And, you know, really, even if it takes until October for us to get to be secured in the playoffs, that's fine too. But I think ultimately it's based on preseason and what we've seen in the two games for ourselves, and, you know, then following along on social media, on the club's accounts. That's the word I'm looking for. At Indy 11 or at Indy 11 Live if you're on X. Following along there, it's looking a lot more promising this year. In which, speaking of looking promising, we have a new signing. Technically on loan. Michael, I'll let you talk about him here in just a second. But Hunter Solti out of Alaska. He's a home player, or however they call it in the MLS, and homegrown player from Alaska. Got signed with Portland Timbers many years back. He's kind of unproven, which is kind of interesting, I would say, especially as far as goalies that we've signed on loan after the MLS season has started. But he's coming here. He's going to be with us on loan from Portland, working with Yannick Ertl and Andy Swift, the head goalkeeper coach for the club. Michael, what are your thoughts on all of that?
It is interesting to see us bring in another young keeper just through kind of what we've seen so far this offseason. He's had a little bit of experience back with Portland when they were a USL team. Since then, he's got a couple appearances for them through major league games. Most of his time has been spent with the next team. It's interesting. You know, we have a guy like Yannick Odell who is, you know, obviously our number one keeper. I think the questions going into this season were who is going to be the guy to kind of fight for that spot with them. Obviously, last year it was Tim Truk. And when Yannick went out, Truk stepped up, and he did a pretty good job as the replacement keeper. I'm a little questionable on the loan, though. I know back when we had the coaching night, McCauley said, if we're bringing a guy in on loan, it's not to make him better, it's to make us better. So obviously, McCauley and the coaching staff, most likely Andy Swift, see something in this kid that says, we need to get this guy to Indy. Will he produce? We don't know. Will he be given the chance? We also don't know.
Yeah, and it's also interesting that, you know, for McCauley, he spent, you know, from the time that Hunter was signed to be in Portland Timbers program, McCauley was out there, you know, on their coaching staff. So there could be that connection as well that, you know, maybe back then McCauley saw something in him, and now, you know, he's not quite getting the senior minutes that we are used to seeing, especially from a loaned player from an MLS side. You know, most recently, Eric Dick came over. Granted, he was only with us for maybe 2 months before he got recalled back to Columbus. But still, you know, we're used to seeing guys that are getting consistent minutes. And Portland's goalkeeper locker room, essentially, it's pretty full. You know, I looked at it a couple of days ago, and they had four or five goalies signed on their senior side. You know, yeah, they're probably sending a couple of them to MLS Next Pro, a couple of them, obviously, with the Portland Timbers and the senior side. But it's still pretty full. So I'm also curious if it's more, you know, Portland's looking like, hey, where can we send this kid where, you know, they might need him? You know, and obviously that's always the goal, right, is that a backup keeper isn't needed, but we're pretty darn happy when he is and they perform. You know, for example, possibly everybody's favorite backup keeper in Jordan Farr.
Yep. I was about right? to say, look at a guy
he only got here. Yeah. He only got his starting his main starting gig started when after an Open Cup game. Why am I blanking on our starting goalkeeper's name?
Evan Newton.
Yes. Evan Newton got a red card for unfortunately hospitalizing a kid who, glad to say that kid is okay. But, you know, so then Evan had to sit out the next game, and who stepped up to start? Jordan Farr. And he really showed what he had to prove and ended up earning himself the starting spot the following year. You know, and so hopefully for Hunter, it's along the same lines of when we finally need him. You know, knock on wood, Yannick never gets hurt, you know, or suspended for any reason. But if he ever is sitting out for a game, we hope and almost pray that Hunter is able to step up and take control and help keep a shutout and keep goals out of the back of the net.
And like you said, that is all that we can ask for. Yep. I don't know much about him. I haven't seen him play, but it's honestly to the point when you look at the roster that Sean McCauley has built and you look at everything we've done in the preseason, it's like, okay, I put my trust in you. And if we need you, hopefully you come through.
Yeah. Tom, you got anything where I know you've been in and out, but we've been talking about Hunter. So I believe the pronunciation is Salt or Solte. Do you have anything you'd like to say about him or your thoughts on bringing in a young goalkeeper on loan?
Yeah. Can you hear us? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just, we needed a backup really. With Tim Trilk leaving, they just needed a backup, and McCulley's got connections with Timbers, I believe. He's worked there, so whether that's played a part in it, but yeah, I think it's just a case of backup, and I mean, they obviously think he's good enough to start if needed. So
yeah,
and I mean, yeah, as for the rest of the squad, I'm liking the way it's looking, to be honest. I think it's probably one of the strongest squads we've ever had on paper. Especially the midfield, keeping the likes of Blake and Lindley and Quinn, and obviously also topping that up with bringing Tyler Gibson back, and a couple of obviously the new guy Max, I believe he's called Max Schneider. The midfield especially looks pretty stacked.
Yeah. It'll definitely be interesting to see how it all shapes up. You know, and we're at the time of recording this, we're just over a week away from seeing how that all will shape up. Let's see. Around the league, Michael, what's been going on around the USL the past couple weeks?
Well, there's been a good chunk of things going on around the USL. We're actually going to start with the men's side because they don't have quite as much to talk about. Back in, I believe, December, the USL announced that they were signing with CBS to provide up to, I believe, 140 games between the Championship and League One throughout the season. Nothing was heard of until about a week ago. CBS and the USL announced the full lineup of games to be broadcasted on the CBS network. Of all the games that they could pick in the USL Championship to be the debut of USL soccer to people outside of just the ESPN network, they chose the biggest and best rivalry in all of sport. The Saturday, April 6th matchup, where we travel down 65 to the wrong side of the river, is the first matchup for CBS in the USL era.
Yeah, and obviously we'll get more into that matchup later. Yeah, it's definitely interesting. You know, 35 matches total between that will air nationally between CBS Sports Network, that's CBS, CBS Sports Network, and I believe Paramount as well. Might be getting some of them.
Also running stuff on Golazo as well.
Yeah. And then also still streaming through ESPN Plus, and a handful of matches will also be a part of the ESPN networks. And also important for any USL League One fans, if you are listening to a podcast about a USL championship team, welcome. Thank you for listening as always. But your inaugural League One Cup competition will air on ESPN Plus. So at least for League One fans to catch League One Cup competitions, you don't have to do much different than what you've been doing for the regular season lately. But yeah, be on the lookout for that as well.
To add on top of that with League One, because this was also announced in CBS, the CBS Sports Network will be hosting the USL League One final. That game doesn't have a set date yet, as opposed to the USL Championship final, which is going to be November 23rd, according to CBS.
Yeah, and I'm curious if that, if League One doesn't have a final date because of this inaugural League One Cup, they might not be too sure how long that might run. There might be, you know, what's the word? They might need to change for weather or something.
Right.
So, but yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. I'm very happy with the fact that there's going to be 35 league matches. Or 35 USL matches across Championship and League One that are going to be on national TV this year. That's a big up from previous year where really if you weren't in the Championship or USL Championship, you weren't playing on national TV.
Yep. And then the other thing, as far as the Championship side goes, the USL announced that they are renewing their partnership deal with ESPN and ESPN Plus. So as per usual, all games across the USL network will be on ESPN Plus with their marquee games, which I don't believe they have said what the marquee games are going to be on ESPN Plus. And the marquee game, actual ESPN. I'm not sure if they've said what their big games are going to be yet.
Well, I'm curious if that's all a part of that 35 matches, if that's what's counting as their marquee games. Which have been announced. They were announced across the USL's social medias earlier in the week. And so I'm curious if that's what they're counting as their marquee matchups. And they might have just flubbed on the verbiage of stating just ESPN versus ESPN and CBS.
That would not at all surprise me at all. Nope. It is nice to know. I know there are some questions on, okay, we're signing this deal with CBS for however many games over the next X amount of seasons. Where can we go, right? Where are we still going with our normal season? ESPN Plus, and then, of course, your local indie stations still have all the home games with a couple of the road matchups per usual. I assume it'll be Louisville, maybe Memphis again. We'll have to see when they announce that.
With Louisville being on national TV, I don't know if there will be a local broadcast for it. You know what I'm saying?
I want to say in the presser that the Indy 11 released, I want to say that they mentioned that that game would be broadcasted on ESPN Plus, My Indy TV with Greg and Brad, and then CBS. But I have to go back.
Okay, so I must have glanced over that part.
Yeah.
But, oh well. All right. What else has been going on in the USL, Michael?
Well, let's flip it over to the women's side, because this is where things get really fun. Obviously, we are a show that gets to talk about the reigning, defending, undisputed USL W League champions for season two. We're about to run it back. Early on, the USL League or W League announced their division realignment. It'd be a bunch of familiar faces for the Indy 11. King's Hammer, based out of Cincinnati, technically Kentucky, but we don't have to talk about that. St. Charles FC, based out of St. Louis. Sporting Lexington. And of course, who else but Racing Louisville City. Are they a two team? Is it in their official name that they're a two team?
No, okay. They don't have that official. I think the way that Racing Louisville puts it is it's more their academy side. I think it's how they put it.
That's kind of what I assume, because in the past two years of seeing them, I haven't seen a two. But
nope, it's just Racing Louisville FC is what they go by for them.
So that was announced a couple weeks ago. Then, about 2 days later, it was announced what the schedule would be for the Indy 11 to run it back. And much like last year, we'll see two teams three times and the other teams twice. Last year we saw Lexington, St. Charles twice. This year we get the close rivalries. And it all starts with the big game, Tuesday, May 14th, the Indy 11 travel down to the Lynn Family Practice Facility, I believe is where they're still playing their games at.
Yep.
For the first edition of the 2024 LIPA FC women's side. And then we'll see King's Hammer at home. And then we'll have another home game against Kings, another away game, and then an away game against Kings. Same for Louisville. We'll have another home game we'll have a home game and another away game.
Yeah. And obviously, we'll get more into the W League and our girls in blue as we get closer to their season starting in May. Obviously, main dates to remember right now, May 14th at Racing Louisville, as Michael just said. And then the first home game, first of five home games this year, May 20th, as we host King's Hammer FC. All women W League games for Indy 11, to my knowledge, are still going to be up at Grand Park in the Event Center. For more information on that, you can go to indy11.com/W League. Now, let's get into the month of March, finally. There is a lot that's going to happen, but also not. So the month of March, plus one. Yes, we do say plus one because there is one game we are going to talk about. Michael's already hinted at it earlier. That is not in the month of March, but it is important for us to get this out there, especially with the new format of how we are recording our episodes this year. But let's kick it off March 9th at 10 p.m. now, 10 p.m. Indiana time. Indy heads out to the Oakland Roots SC. Last season, Indy played host to Oakland in April, another early season game last year, as there will be this year, where Oakland came in and they won 3-0. And then what's also interesting, Michael, is that Oakland went on to finish the season 10th in their conference. So it's one here early on in the season. It's good to kind of see where teams are. But then it's 1-2 of, you see that 3-0 loss for Indy last year, that early in the season, and Oakland went on to not make the playoffs, but then Indy did. So I think it's one that, we have all these hopes and dreams, and obviously we want to start off the season 1-0. Every team in the league does. But we also don't necessarily want to judge a book by its cover almost.
Yeah, last year's game against Oakland is a hard one to look back and say, yeah, that was a good night. Obviously, a 3-1 loss. But it's also one's like, in the moment, it's like, God, this sucks. We just lost 3-1. But it's early in the season. This team is still trying to build. We had a lot of brand new pieces for Mark's second year as head coach. Obviously, Mark's no longer here, but a lot of the pieces that he brought in last year are still here.
Yep.
And obviously, we've seen from preseason, they've melded pretty well together. I'm excited how this matchup goes. Obviously, the big connection between us and Oakland, former Indy 11 fan favorite Neville Hackshaw still resides out in Oakland.
Yep. So it'll definitely be interesting. That is a game that folks we can catch on ESPN Plus. And again, if you are looking to watch it alongside friends and fellow fans, be sure to follow the Brickyard Battalion on social medias, as well as the team themselves, Indy 11, on any social medias for information on watch parties. I guess it's one of those we got to wait and see type of deal. And then a week later, 2 weeks from the time of recording, we play the lone and only game inside a fixed and not so great fix a flat soccer field inside a baseball stadium down in Memphis with Memphis 901 FC. That game kicking off at 4:00. Luckily for Indy this year, it's the only time we face Memphis. With Memphis joining the Western Conference this year, that was announced a month or so ago. That does make this the lone matchup of the regular season against Memphis. Last year, unfortunately, Memphis did get the best of us in the first matchup at our place. But then we went down to their baseball stadium. Sorry, I mean soccer field. And drew them 0-0. Historically, Indy and Memphis is a 3-3-5. That's 3 wins to Indy, 3 draws, and 5 wins to Memphis. And one interesting thing, Michael, is Indy has not beaten Memphis since March of 2020 in the historic game where a certain star Hall of Fame goalkeeper gave up a 2-0 lead.
It is a bit weird seeing Memphis once a year now. Obviously, the U.S. will have to make room in the East for a couple teams that we'll see for the first time later in the year with Rhode Island and North Carolina. But yeah, this is a matchup that obviously you're going to have circled on your calendar. If you've been a fan of Indy 11, you know kind of what the battle is between Indy and Memphis. That's a hard stat to see, though. 2020, the amount of things that have changed since then, man.
Yep.
We're on our second, or really, technically, because that was Martin Rennie.
Yep.
We went through Max Rogers, Mark Lowry, and we're now on Sean McCauley since then.
Yep. It'll be interesting. It should be a good one. I'm hoping that because baseball's not in season, that they're going to have their infield turf lay figured out, at least for this first game. But because I know last year, man, that was rough to watch where you just see chunks of field just coming up.
Oh, yeah.
It's one where we question, how safe is it for the players? But, again, luckily, we only have to see them once. Really, the entire Eastern Conference only has to see Memphis once. My hope for the entire Eastern Conference is that they don't have to go to Memphis like Indy does. But I know that's not possible. That's just because I hate seeing players get hurt because of
poor field conditions.
The field is, poor field conditions. But definitely that will be a key and prime opening away matchup for Indy. We play Oakland in the first game, so you could say that. But Memphis being a team that we've seen many times before, I think that could be a huge staple of how these guys are going to play on the road. And hopefully there'll be several members of the Brickyard Battalion and several fans that make their way down there for that matchup. Again, that match is going to be played at 4:00 on the 16th of March. For those that aren't going to travel, again, you can find that match on ESPN Plus, and again, be following along with both the club and the Brickyard Battalion on social medias to get information about watch parties so you can watch it with fellow fans and enjoy the excitement that is Indy 11. Then next up, we've got the first home game of the season against Sacramento Republic FC on March 23rd at 7 p.m. I don't think I've seen anything about gate opening or tailgate lot starting up. I don't think I've seen anything about it being changed. So tailgate lots or parking lots in general will open at 4:00. Gates, I believe, still open at 6. Folks, make sure you get in there. Make sure you get out. You can go to indy11.com to get tickets for that game. Or if you want to be a part of the Brickyard Battalion, you can go to bybtix.com to get tickets there. You can also get them through the club as well. Because this is the first home match for our boys in blue. And the first time head coach Sean McCauley will take to the touchline in front of a full stadium. I think through attending the general meeting of the Brickyard Battalion, being on the board now, fans are ready to explode, right? We're ready to yell and scream at something, and we want it to be for the better. Last season, Indy went on the road to Sacramento. It was kind of part of the spell of not performing phenomenally on the West Coast, where we fell 1-3. But on the flip side this year, Sacramento comes to us. I know Brickyard Battalion's ready to lose their voices within the first 45 minutes and then fight through the pain in the second half. And I know through short conversations with McCauley and some of the players, they are just as excited and just as ready to play in front of their fans as much as the fans are ready to fill those stands.
Speaking of filling those stands, this game against Sacramento Republic, obviously it's the home opener. They're going to have events for that. But it is the first of 11 games for the Indy 11 where a ticket price will match the date. So there are certain tickets to the home opener against Sacramento Republic that are $3.23 a piece. Connecting tie between, plus service fees and all that. Yeah. The connecting tie between Sacramento Republic and the Indy 11. He was with us 2 years ago. Jared Timmer has been with the Sac Republic. He was there last year. He is there again this year. So we get to see another friendly face who's not so friendly anymore.
Yeah. And again, that match, it's very hard to talk about some of these matches, especially against Western Conference, because we just haven't seen much of them against Indy or Indy against them lately. This whole East versus West schedule is still relatively new. So again, it's hard to really say, what type of team are we going to have? And it's a new team this year. Yeah, we got returning players, but it's still a whole new team, whole new regiment with Sean McCauley taking the helm. And so it'll definitely be, Oakland's the first chance we get to actually see it on TV. Some fans hopefully are traveling down to Memphis, so they'll get to see it in person. But then everybody, all 10 to 12, hopefully 20,000 people that somehow squeak their way into the mic, will get to see them and see what McCauley is able to produce with the players there on March 23rd. And then right after that, a week later, it's actually interesting how quickly we have our next two opponents, being so early in the season. This next one on March 30th, I've already deemed as the match of March. It's an important one for us just because of how close in proximity the two are. And it seems like it's all in Detroit City. They have found a way to battle us lately. Luckily, we've come away from them. We've got a 3-1-1 record against them. Last season, Indy went up in the second match of the season to Detroit and won 1-0 in a game that I promise you not, we saw every type of weather in one single day. There was wind, there was snow, there was sleet, there was rain. And our guys went up there and they came away with the win 1-0. And then later on in the season, Detroit came down here and we bested them yet again with a 3-0 win. Being at that game last year up in Detroit, I can tell you that if the weather wasn't as bad as it was, we probably would have seen similar results in both matches up there and here with that 3-0 win. It's also the fourth match of the season, right? And so by then, jitters should be all gone. It's the second home game. So any new players that are coming to Indy for the first time, maybe they've never played in front of the Brickyard Battalion. Maybe they've only heard stories. That Sacramento game will be that game for them to get all that figured out. Hopefully they figure it out quick so we can come away with a win there. But then come Detroit, the players really should be settled in with their positions, with where they're playing, and how they're doing things. And I think also for fans, it's going to be a true testament as to what's coming up the following week. Michael, what are your thoughts there with Detroit being the fourth game of the season?
It's weird to me, right? So like last year, it was our second or third game, right? And then we ended the year at home with Detroit before going off to San Antonio for the last game. So second away game, final home game. A very similar feat this year. Yes, for our fourth game, but our second home game. But you look down the calendar, they're our next to last away game of the season. So what we're going to see now is going to be way different from what we see then. Just like what we saw on day of recording against their 3-1 win in the preseason can drastically change when they come to Carroll there at the end of March. I think it's a rivalry that is young It's budding. I can't wait to see where it goes. Do we have a name for it yet?
Nope.
Need to figure that one out.
Yeah, it's also one that, you know, it is new, but it's also one that, you know, these types of rivalries, like the one that's coming up next, you know, it's very important that the fans are the ones that create that, the name, or, you know, that truly agree and call it a rivalry. Well, it's one that, you know, we see it in MLS all the time. They try and create a rivalry themselves, you know, the team or the front offices, and it just doesn't catch. Right? You know, the fans don't truly get behind it. It ends up just being a publicity stunt type of deal. Yeah, and so it's definitely one that proximity-wise, you can call it a rivalry. But again, you look at the overall record so far, and he's dominated. Yeah, so it'll be interesting, especially after playing Detroit in the preseason and getting the best of them there. It'll be interesting after getting 3-4 games under our belts of actual gameplay within the league, what type of results come from it from both sides. I think ultimately that's why it's essentially a match of the month for us. You know, it's a key one for us to figure out and get to know. And hope, you know, personally, Michael, I mean, we look at these first four games, just the first four, just here in the month of March. We'll get to the plus one here in just a second. Realistically,
it's a big month for Sean McCauley. Like, yeah. It's a massive month. I know last 2 years with Mark Lowry, his first month, we came right out of the gates with some of the biggest matchups. I love that we're seeing that again here with Sean and the team that he's built, because it says, hey, what kind of team are you going to be early? Before you have all the actual play figured out, before you have tactics and all that, are you a gritty, hardworking, going to fight for every inch kind of team? Or are you a, oh, they just scored a goal, oops, what do we do now kind of team?
Yeah. And, you know, looking at the month of March, realistically, where do you think come the final whistle on March 30th, what do you think the record will be?
Oh, this one is...
Because I have my record in mind.
Man, that's one that it's hard to... Obviously, it's hard to predict games, right?
Right.
I go back to 2 years ago. I had a bet with a guy that the Colts and the Packers were going to be in the Super Bowl. The Colts ended up with the 5th overall pick, and the Packers sent their quarterback out of town. So I'm not the best at picking games. But I think the game out in Oakland is a very winnable game. As long as we don't get hit bit by the California bug, seems every time we go out there, it's a 5-0 loss. I think as long as McCauley keeps his guys cool, that's a very winnable game. Same with Memphis. I know Memphis is a really, really good team. But looking at the first four games, Oakland could be a win. Memphis could be a win. Sacramento Republic could be a win. And Detroit could be a win. But I'm not sitting here saying we're going to be sitting on 12 points going into the month of April.
Nope.
I see a very realistic 6 to 8 points. So at least 2 wins. And the other 2, mainly being the Memphis and Detroit games, could very well go either way.
Yeah. I see us realistically winning 3 of the 4 matchups. And unfortunately, the West Coast has not been kind to us these past couple, since we started going out to the West Coast and playing games. And, you know, I hope that I am wrong. Right? I think everybody hopes that we are sitting at 12 points come the final whistle against Detroit. But realistically, looking at the way things have gone, and we do still have some returning players from last year's Western Conference debacles, that, you know, realistically, I see us winning three of the four. Hopefully, that doesn't mean we lose the other one, right? Hopefully, we're sitting at 10 points. I definitely think 10 points is a good, is a phenomenal start. Looking at this schedule, 10 points would be a phenomenal start.
You mentioned it, how we've had very hard times going out, especially to California, and coming back with any success. I hate to say it, but obviously we're going to see here when we go out to Oakland how much of that was players not working together, how much was that a refusal to change tactics when you went down.
Yep.
That is one thing Sean was big on when we had that meeting with him back in January. He said, hey, when something's not working, we're figuring out what's going to work and we're going to get there.
Yeah. And then, I mean, and let's also be realistic. First home game of the season against Sacramento. Sacramento's a very good team. I think that these first four games are really going to set the tone for the season.
Yep.
You know, not just based on results, but even, yeah, does McCauley change tactics at any point in the game? Do we see something different happen, whether it's at halftime or while the game is being played? And so with that, let's go ahead and go into the plus one match, which is at that other team. yeah, this matchup, it doesn't need any introductions in all reality. If you've been around Indy 11 for now going on 11 years, you don't need any real introduction to the first match of April. But it is the first installment of the 2024 men's edition of the Louisville-Indianapolis Proximity Association Football Contest, more formally known as LIPA FC. This is a matchup that dates all the way back. It is possibly the most historic rivalry in all of sport, dating all the way back to April 18th, 1865, according to LIPAFC.com. That match finished in a 4-4 draw. And then the biggest win in the history of the competition dates all the way back to October 4th, 1921, where Indy gave the low-scoring arguers a run for their money when they won it 19-7. In the modern-day era, meaning from 2015 to today, Louisville, unfortunately, leads the series 10-6-5. That's 10 wins, 6 draws, 5 wins for Indy. And after Indy held the coveted barrel in 2021 and hoisted it for the first time in its inception of 2022, Louisville regained it last year after shutting out Indy in both matchups. You know, it's definitely one that as the fans, it's the biggest matchup of the season. You know, we see it in every and any sport, especially here in Indiana. You know, we got the Oaken Bucket between IU and Purdue football, that if you don't win that, who knows what's going to happen, right? Fans let you know that you didn't win the biggest matchup of the year. Fortunately for us, we do get to see Louisville again later in the season. But getting them this early, you know, April 6th at 4 p.m., live on CBS for the first nationally televised matchup of the season within the USL, taking place shortly before the Final Four kicking off. You know, this game should be leading right into Final Four coverage for those that pay attention to March Madness. A lot of eyes are going to be on it. A lot of eyes will be on Lynn Family Stadium, and they're going to be watching. They're going to be seeing what does the USL have to actually offer, especially with all of, you know, we're not necessarily going to get into all the MLS stuff that's been happening. But, you know, if you're a fan of soccer, you've been paying attention, so you know what's going on. Here's another league that's actually on national TV. You know, people might be checking it out. Hey, what do they have to offer? What kind of atmosphere is this? What kind of game is this going to be? You know, so it'll definitely be interesting. I will say ahead before we kind of dive in, going back and forth on each other with that matchup. I know historically the Brickyard Battalion does not do watch parties for that game. So if you want to watch that game with friends and fans, get down to Louisville. Make your plans now. Make sure you are a part of that newsletter chain. BrickyardBattalion.com/join. Get on that newsletter. Find them on social medias. As they will have the official tickets for that matchup. More information on that obviously will come at a later date, probably as we get closer to it. And of course, we will make sure that we post about it or at least retweet it off of our own social medias at Cue the Smoke. Michael, let's be honest, it's Louisville.
It is indeed Louisville.
It's always a tough matchup. You know, it's one that it's not a fun matchup, especially for fans, because you go through a lot of emotions.
Yeah. Regardless of which way the game goes, right? If it's a win for us, obviously we're joyous. We're celebrating. We're like, okay, we have one more game against them, and if we win it, we own the series, right? If it's a draw, both fans kind of just go home. I won't say disappointed, but disappointed. You know, it's one of those.
I think with that
a massive matchup, we need to win it.
With that, I think Indy fans will be excited with the draw, right?
Yes.
You know, because the draw still means points against Louisville, you know, a team that historically dominates the Eastern Conference, and they do it with no doubt. You know, they've been to the conference final several times. They've made it to the finals several times. They lock in home field advantage almost as early as possible. Throughout the playoffs. And so definitely getting any point out of Louisville, especially on the road, you know, it's a 20,000 seat stadium, I believe. And, you know, I'm hoping they fill it. All right. I hope they get 18,000 people in that stadium. And I hope Indy and the Brickyard Battalion bring 2,000. I think that's the hope. And, you know, because it is a big matchup. It's, you know, as much as people like to claim that LipaFC.com is a joke and it's not the truth, this is a historic matchup. Indiana versus Kentucky. You know, that's what it's about. And so, for some reason, they think that their short minute and a half race is more important than our 3-4 hour long race. But we all make sure that everybody knows how we all feel about each other, right? But,
yeah.
You know, again, it's Kentucky, it's Indiana. It's a matchup, folks, you do not want to miss. If for some reason you do have to miss it, you can, again, catch that live on CBS as well as on local partnership channels like MyIndy TV 23 with the voice of Greg Rakestraw, and joining him again this year, to our knowledge, is Brad Howder. They will be the voice for all Indy 11 home games. Greg Rakestraw, of course, is also the voice of Soccer Saturday on our local ESPN radio channel. Greg, if you're listening, if you guys want to sponsor us, let us know, and we'll shout you guys out some more. Hey, I'm all about trying to get us some money. it helps run things. A lot of the stuff that we do is not, it's cheap, but it's not cheap all at the same time. So Michael, with Louisville, you're going, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So I'll see you down in Louisville then. Really, I'll see you in Sacramento. But,
oh, yeah.
Or obviously. Again, Sacramento. But definitely see you down in Louisville. Yep. I'm excited for it, especially it being a 4 o'clock game. That's going to be nice.
I think that is kind of big part of that game. Not only is it the fact that it's not a 7 o'clock game, it's pushed back to 4 o'clock. That's a big matchup. That's probably, not probably, definitely the only matchup happening at that time slot. But it's also the first CBS game. So you know that fans from both sides are thinking, hey, let's get to that stadium. Let's fill it up. Not just to show them what the biggest and best rivalry in the history of all of sports can be. Let's show them what this, quote, little brother league to the MLS truly can have.
Yep, exactly. All right, quick pause for editing so he has time to get David's stuff in there.
Yep.
Do, 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 do. All right, so again, folks, thank you for listening to the Smoke Podcast. Again, you can find us. Mike, I'm going to kind of just do the closing. I know we put in there for you to say some stuff, but I'm just going to go for it because it all just kind of flows in. Unless you have anything last minute to add?
No. Like you've said, there's obviously like David said, there's a lot of opportunities to come out and not just, you know, be with the BYB, but to support the team. So, you know, make sure you get out to the watch parties. Make sure you get out to, the home opener, the Detroit game. And then make sure you are taking the trip down 65 to support your boys in blue when they go battle Louisville.
Yeah. And yeah, that's the biggest thing. Again, we want to thank David, the new and current president of the Brickyard Battalion. Thank you, David, for joining us. And then, unfortunately, Tom had some connection issues and wasn't able to join us for much. But for what little he did, Tom, again, thank you for joining us, especially all the way over from the UK. And, folks, if you need tickets, whether it's season tickets or individual tickets, be sure to head on over to indy11.com/tickets to get your tickets and secure your seat for the 2024 Indy 11 season. And if you're looking for individual tickets in the Brickyard Battalion, as David said, you can head on over to bybtix.com. That's bybtix.com for all of that. Be sure you're following not just the club at Indy11 on any social medias. Be sure you're following the Brickyard Battalion at @_BYB on X and Instagram. And following them on Facebook, Brickyard Battalion. And don't forget to head over to their website, BrickyardBattalion.com, to learn more about memberships and learn more about what the Brickyard Battalion is doing this year. Also, hey, if you didn't know, we have a blog going on. We've been doing it for a couple seasons now. You can find our posts, our write-ups, on QTheSmoke.com. Also on our website, there is information about, again, not just the blogs, but also returning this year for the third season is Commentator Bingo with Greg Rakeshaw and company. Reason why we had to start staying in company is because there are some times that Brad might not be there, especially come the W League games, come the women's team. Greg might have somebody else joining him as his co-host. So we had to start staying in company. More information on that is to come. I know I'm working with Greg to finalize the board for this year, where Greg versus the board is 1-1. So it'll be interesting this year to see what Greg can do this year, if he can cover it all or not. Again, you can find all of that over on QTheSmoke.com. And be sure you're following us on X at QTheSmoke. We retweet a lot of information from the club. We do our best to get information out there as it comes in. Again, folks, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to us as we get ready for the month of March. We look forward to joining you all again later on this month as we recap the month and get us ready for the month of April. Again, Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, as always, for having me.
David, because you are new to the podcast, who are you? What have you done / do you do currently for the Brickyard Battalion and Indy 11?
Oh, those are very large questions, John. So
if you talk too long, we can edit it out.
Yeah, exactly. Who am I? I am a middle-aged male with a very beautiful son who loves. I love very much. He loves soccer very much. Plays academy / travel team soccer on the south side. I fell in love with the beautiful game, gosh, in the early 90s, and was one of those kids who picked it up mostly because of the build-up to the 94 World Cup. I know we're building up to the 26 World Cup, which is incredibly exciting to see that kind of full circle. And was a very strange kid who bought the denim Stars jersey and wore it to school. And everybody looked at him like he was crazy. So that's kind of where my love of soccer started.
Can anyone else hear David?
I can. Can you not, Tom?
Nah, I can't hear nothing. I can hear you and I can hear you and Michael, but
oh, that's weird.
Well, hopefully. Hopefully it's recording.
I can hear him plain as day, so
no, I've got you, David.
Okay, good.
Okay.
And then kind of grew up from there, fell in love with Arsenal and the Invincibles. And then when MLS kind of started taking off, I fell in love with DC United. I was lucky enough to move out to DC in the early 2000s and became a member of a couple of supporter groups out there, including Screaming Eels and Barra Brava. And so that's kind of where my supporter group history started. Broke enough chairs in old RFK Stadium that they probably should have given me one for free instead of selling them for $250 a pop. But it is what it is. And came back to Indiana after I grew up in Northwest Indiana, went to school at DePauw, graduated, moved out to DC, came back after law school to Indianapolis about the same time that the BYB was getting started. And quickly learned that we were going to get a team when it was announced. I found the first place I could find a member scarf. I signed up to get a membership. In fact, I am member number 988 of the BYB. I still have the original membership card. I know that Peter Wilt or Peter Evans is number one, but I am member 988 officially. And have loved every minute of it. Have been a season ticket holder for years, and it's a place that my son and I have spent a lot of quality time. And I've led the BYB from the front very visibly, along with Jonathan and Betts and a whole bunch of other people who lead from the capo stand. I've done everything you can think of behind the scenes, including doing meetings with the front office that not a lot of people are privy to. And so when the opportunity came around and Catherine needed to step down for personal reasons, it was excitement and also a little scary to know exactly what I was getting myself into. I looked at it as an opportunity. I had just left the prosecutor's office that I'd spent 10 and a half years at as an attorney, as a deputy prosecutor. And I looked at it as another way to basically serve the city and central Indiana. And that's kind of the way I approach it. I've led a lot of organizations, and honestly, the way I look at all of that is, I'm trying to make things what the members want so that they get a better experience. And I'm incredibly excited to see what the next 3 years are going to bring, especially with the 11 Park coming up. It's going to be really cool to be a part of that whole process. So incredibly privileged to do this.
Awesome. Awesome. And then heading into the start of the season, are there any goals or ambitious goals that you have, not just for the Brickyard Battalion, but also for the team itself?
you know, I'll leave the team to the people who run it. You know, we are separate organizations for a reason, and there's no reason for me to get into their world unless there is absolutely something for certain that we need to talk about, which there has been already in a couple in the month or so that we've been working together. I got to say that I'm incredibly thankful for the front office and their open communication, and it looks like the relationship that they have with me and vice versa is going to be very good. We've worked incredibly well together for the past, oh gosh, it's going into nine, it's March, so 60-ish days. So that's good. That's a good sign. And my goals for the BYB are just to give individual members a voice, to recognize their contributions on a bigger scale. You know, the board is very important, but, you know, we're only, you know, 10 or 20% of what actually happens and what gets done. The amount of people who spend volunteer hours and quality time and design things and plan things to get things done and donate stuff is incredible. And one of the main things that I want to do is make sure that they're recognized as well as anybody else. So I think that's first and foremost. I want to make sure that that gets done, and make sure that people's wants and needs for the battalion are put to use. You know, one of the first things that I heard was that we needed to do more outreach to the Hispanic community and constituency here in Indianapolis. So I contacted the, you know, person who raised up the question and said, how do we get this done? I reached out to some very long-term and former board members in the Hispanic community and said, you know, this is something that's been brought to my attention. We need to do it. So how do we get it done? And they downloaded just oodles of things that they've wanted to do for years, but just haven't had the opportunity or the space to get that done. And I just said, have at it. Here's this person who's going to help you get on a radio show. We got them on a radio show like last week or the week before. They're going to start their own supporter group affiliate. And hopefully we'll get enough people involved in that so that they may be able to lead us to march in the matches. And some other things. I mean, that's just one example of how, you know, I view my leadership role, which is if somebody comes to me with an issue, here's another great example. Somebody came to me when I just took over and got an email address, and they wrote me and they said, hey, you know, I joined the BYB 2 years ago, but I've never really felt welcome. You know, it's very hard to break into the groups that are very solidified because you guys have been going to matches for 10 years. Have you ever thought about having a welcoming group or an ambassador program to these new members? And I thought, no, of course not. Why would we think of that? That's got to come from you. And I said, do you have a plan? Do you, you know, how would you like this to happen? And he said, let me think about it. And I said, when you do, get back to me and maybe you can just be in charge of it. You run it the way you want to run it. Let me know what you need. What resources do you want from us? And we'll let you go with it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We could try something different. And Ray is the guy's name. And Ray is now going to be the chairman of that committee. He's going to be the chair of the welcoming / ambassador committee. So again, my role as president, I view as more of a, if you've got an idea to make us better, I'm going to listen to it. Unless it's completely far-fetched and crazy, I'm probably going to say yes and give you the power to fulfill whatever dream you have. And that's, I think that's more important than anything else I could do. So.
No, that's awesome. And speaking of the board, for those that don't know, because I know we didn't say it on the last episode, I'm also on that board with you. And so, yeah, I know there's going to be a lot of fun things that come out this year. I've already seen some really, really nice designs for various items that hopefully members of the Brickyard Battalion, hopefully you are a member and are getting the newsletters. If not, you can head over to brickyardbattalion.com, right? It's .com, not .org.
It's .com, and it's okay. /join, J-O-I-N. Yeah.
Yep. You can head there to ensure that you are getting the newsletters, because I know the board, we're working on getting the March newsletter coming out here soon. All right, so David, we just talked about the month of March plus one. And let's be honest, we all saw that initial start time for the Oakland routes being at 11 o'clock. I'm 99% sure that we've seen that it's been changed to 10 o'clock. What I know in the past, the Breakout Battalion has done watch parties. What is the plan this year, especially with that such a late start time? What is the plan? What can any fans try and do to meet with other fans or vice versa?
So, yeah, the first game on the 9th was originally listed at 11 p.m. I did double check. It has been changed to 10, at least online everywhere that I could see. And, you know, hopefully that stays because 11 p.m. is brutal here on the East Coast. Right. I know, obviously, the people in Oakland would be like, I really don't care because you guys have to always start, you know, we always have to wake up early to watch all the games on the East Coast. We're still trying to figure out what we're going to do with that. The club has been incredibly helpful with trying to set up watch parties with us to promote them. So that's helpful. At the beginning of our relationship and when I took over, we kind of talked about, you know, whether or not we were going to stick with our general plan. I said, yes. I said, UJ's, you know, Union Jacks and Broad Ripple is our home. We would never leave there. And they quickly said, not a problem. We're okay with that. Just let us know the details and we'll make sure to include all of those watch parties as official Indy 11 ones, along with your Brickyard Battalion one. I said, okay, that's great. So we're still working with UJs to get details, at least for the 9th. We're waiting on for the owners to come back from vacation. They have earned it. And when they get back, we'll have a serious conversation about how to set those up. So potentially right now, we're looking at UJs for the 9th. Hopefully that it gets done. And if not, then again, the details will be sent out either through the membership list. We have a newsletter that goes out the first weekend of every month. So this weekend is going to be that second or third issue of the year. And we'll see. But normally speaking, away days, you will find watch parties at UJ's and Broad Ripple. That's our home. We'll never leave there. We know that. They know that. And so just kind of plan on that. We'll send out a TikTok, I don't know, probably a week beforehand. If you want to go, probably get there about an hour, hour and a half early to grab a seat and then just kind of enjoy. We want as many people to come out as possible and to enjoy just the camaraderie and the family that we provide in the BYB. So hopefully that'll work. As far as away days / traveling, Oakland obviously is pretty tough. We've had about 2 or 3 people say, yeah, maybe I'll fly out there, but it's tough. And there's not a lot of planning time to get out there. We haven't had that many interested. We have had a ton of people interested for our second away game, which is on the 16th, the day before St. Patrick's Day in Memphis. So we're hoping to bring between 30 and 50 down to Memphis with us. So that should be super exciting. And then the week after that's home match number 1. At that one, we're going to have a tailgate. Again, one of our members came up to me and said, hey, have you ever thought about having a garage sale at the tailgate? And I said, no, but that sounds like an awesome idea because we see all the time people trying to get rid of old merch that because they're leaving or moving or they just don't fit into it anymore or their kids have grown out of it. And so we've worked with the club and it looks like we're going to be able to get that done in the tailgate. So we're going to probably send out an interest form here pretty soon about people signing up for booths and spots parking spots so that you can just come through the BYB tailgate, look at all the old merch for the last 11 years and see what you like. You can either probably purchase it and or barter, maybe trade, and get that done for match day 1. So the tailgate should be pretty awesome. And then we're working with the club for match day, home match day 2, which is going to be a big game. We're going to partner with the club just announced a community partnership with Firefly. Firefly is what happened when the Children's Bureau and Families First united. They chose a new name. I actually know the CEO over there. She's a wonderful woman and incredibly good at her job. And so the club has asked us to take over and to run all of the donations that could be coming in through the parking lot as well as inside the stadium for Firefly. It's an incredible responsibility. And so we thank them for that. That confidence in our abilities to do that. So we've got some work to do over the next month to get that ready. And before then, we'll obviously have all the details published everywhere we possibly can, and the club will help us do that too. And then finally, we've got Loose City after that. We're probably going to bring 100 to 150 people down to Louisville. And it's going to be, we just learned this week that it will be nationally televised game on CBS. And so it's going to be massive, 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 massive. And I've already been in contact with the Coopers, which is the supporter group down in Louisville. We're going to have some events pregame, like a futsal tournament that we generally have. And, of course, whoever wins that game, you know, may be able to take home a trophy. So we've got a lot of work to do in the next 6 to 8 weeks. But, you know, we're well ahead of schedule, and I'm just really proud of the board for working their tails off, because it's a lot of work, but we're doing a good job, and I'm proud of all of us.
And then lastly, how can people learn more about the Brickyard Battalion and get more information on what the Brickyard Battalion is doing, not just on match day, but also throughout the week?
Well, there's a couple of ways to do it, Jonathan. The first real way to do it is to head over to brickyardbattalion.com /join. There's going to be a newsletter on that website that you can click to sign in on. Again, we send out a newsletter once every month. We're shooting for the first weekend of every month, and we're doing a pretty good job so far. That's something that the membership at the annual general meeting brought up and asked us to do. Again, this is something the membership wanted, so if we can do it, we're going to get it done. And, you know, like I said, this is our second or third edition of the year, so we're doing a pretty good job so far. And so that's the first way to do it. The second way to do it is we'll have memberships that you can sign up for that'll have some gifts attached to it. I think what we're going to do is we're going to have a free option, which is always available. And then we'll have a middle option, which is, I think, going to be $25 this year. You're going to get a car magnet with that to put on your car that says, you know, support your local club or Brickyard Battalion member or something of that nature. We haven't decided yet on the actual design. We've got a couple of options. They look great. Samantha Darcy is our merch and design chair, and she's doing an excellent job. And then the next round up will be a $50 family membership, and that'll get you both the magnet and then a scarf that was chosen by our membership, actually. It was designed by Jason Wyrick, who travels up from games from basically Kentucky and Tennessee every week, which is insanely good and amazing. But he won the vote with, I think, 42-ish percent, and it looks really, really good. So we're incredibly excited about all that. And then once you sign up for all that stuff, once you get yourself a membership, you can obviously come to a game, get yourself a season ticket package. We don't sell those through the BYB. You got to go through the club. But if you just want to come to a match, you can go to what's called BYBTix.com. It's BYBTix.com. Those tickets are cheaper than what the club sells individually. And then on top of that, if you buy a ticket through BYBTix.com, BYBTix.com, you'll be able to donate some of that money to the BYB. I think it's $5 or $6 from every ticket sale that goes through that website. It's a general admission ticket. It actually gives us $5 back. That's something we're going to promote this year big time, because I know there's been a lot of ticket exchanges in the past amongst members, and we're hoping that we can convince people not to, you know, stop that, because that's an excellent option. But also to really use BYBTix.com this year, because it gives us $5 or $6 on every ticket that comes back to us. And that means that we can provide more TIFO. We can provide more, you know, smoke. We can do more flags. We can do more of everything, more sound, more drums, more everything. And so the more donations we get this year, the better we're going to be off, because we've got to start building up for 3 years from now when the Indy 11 Park comes, because that's going to be a really huge deal. And we're going to need a lot more financial backing in order to make everything work seamlessly in about two or three years.
Right, right. And then also, folks, again, that is brickyardbattalion.com to get signed up for the newsletter. You can also follow them on any social media. Just search Brickyard Battalion on Facebook, Instagram, and X. You can find them at the, I'm pretty sure they're both underscore BYB. You can find them there for all the latest information on what is going on with Brickyard Battalion. David, again, we want to say thank you for the time, for spending with us today during this episode.
Oh, thank you guys. I really appreciate obviously all the work that you do behind the scenes as well as in front of the scenes, especially you, Jonathan. You know, couldn't do it without you for a lot of stuff, and as well as Betsy and everybody and Tom and everybody. So, you know, the fact that we've got people like Tom, who's across the pond, who joins us, that's awesome. We've got folks like you who are, you and Betsy, who are willing to stand up in front of, you know, 1,000 people and scream your head off for 90 minutes is incredible. People don't realize how hard that is and how courageous it has to be in order to do that. You got to really know yourself and trust yourself enough to do that. It's not an easy thing to do. So we're looking for head to a really good season. You know, Coach is crazy good, it seems like. You know, we're really excited for the preseason and how it's gone. The matches have been phenomenal. The amount of goals that we've scored is tremendous. And so we're really looking to kick butt. I can tell you that I've had a lot of conversations. I'll leave you with this one, John. I've had some conversations with Coach, and one of the first conversations I had with him was, you know, one, we want to make sure that we're supporting you all the way, so whatever we can do, just let us know. And two, this is Indiana. We're a basketball state, and there are two schools in this state that they hate each other. And if you win, you're golden. Your job is safe. And I told him that just like in basketball, if you beat Louisville City twice in a year, your job will be safe with us, and we really don't care what else happens. So he took that to heart. He understands it. He assured me that he has circled those dates on the calendar. He has told the boys that that is incredibly important. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what the final product on the field is here in a couple of weeks.
Yep. And we will catch you all next time in hopes that a lot of smoke goes off this month. But yeah, I really don't know how to end it, so I'm just ending it there.
But